Welcome to the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast, where we talk about owning your power in conscious, co-creative connection with nature and spirit. I'm your hostess, Natalie Ross, and today's guest is the clairvoyant Jessica Reed from New Zealand, and we are talking to her while she is in Bali. But as you listen, she may be in your area if you are in LA. So if you want to connect with her, reach out and see what she's up to. In this episode, we talk about connecting with your soul, entering into your soul space, and getting clear directions and guidance from your soul versus your mind or your small self. And we also touch on jumping parallel realities and timelines, and we get deeper into that in the secret episode. We get a little more psychedelic, and I hope you enjoy this episode, and I hope you find something valuable in here so that you can get more clear guidance on your next step, on your purpose, on what's true for you, and I hope you can connect with that abundance that's available to you. And I want to say thank you to all of our Patreon supporters, and thank you to everyone who has left a review on iTunes. It's always so wonderful to receive your gratitude in the form of a review or in a form of a monthly donation of $1, $5, $10, $20 or more per month. And if you would like to show us some gratitude for what we do on the show, if we've helped you find clarity or to not feel so alone or bizarre or weird in the world, if we've helped you to own your power, to stand in your truth, and to be who you are, then consider paying it forward by either sharing an episode with a friend, shouting us out on Instagram, or leaving a review on iTunes, or going to patreon.com/dreamfreedombeauty and giving us a monthly donation. We are grateful for all of that and all of you. And now for today's show. I hope you enjoy this psychedelic whirlwind of talking about different realities and what you can do, what you're capable of just as a human being. You know, we have so much more abilities than we give credit to in our mainstream society. So for all of you who have experienced these sorts of things or who are interested in jumping timelines, then listen up. Okay, enjoy the show. Welcome back to the show, Jessica. It's awesome to have you again.
I'm so excited. I'm so happy to have met so many beautiful souls through our last podcast. I'm excited to meet more.
That's awesome. And just so everyone knows, so they can get a beautiful picture in their mind, Jessica is currently, as we record, she's in Bali. As you're listening, I think she'll be in California, but I just love that. I have to share that with everyone.
Get that mental imagery going on of all the palm trees.
Paradise.
Yeah.
No big deal. So, Jessica, do you want to lead us and our listeners on an invocation?
Sure. Happy to.
All right.
Okay. So we can all just take a really deep breath in, right into our heart space. And as you do, you see a nice glowing energy filling your heart space, filling your body, and filling your energy field. Tuning into your soul space and tuning into the highest version of yourself. Tuning into knowing who you really are and who you came here to be, to live your highest purpose and your highest path, your greatest vision. Really tuning into that essence, that energy, frequency, and vibration. Feeling how it lights you up. Feeling how it is divinely aligned with the consciousness of what will bring in, attract, and create everything that is a co-creator or component from the universe of your highest potentials, your highest life path. just taking some more deep breaths into your heart space. Really filling your heart with their energy. Knowing that you have a magnificent life to live. That it all comes from within you. And just taking another couple of deep breaths to come back into our conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
I love just making sure that we tune into that space of, you know, just kind of like forgetting about all the human stuff for a minute and just going into that soul space, that goddess space where we know who we truly are.
Right. And like this, it's funny. I would like to say that even that this soul space is part of the human space, but it's like the expanded version. It's like, hey, get the upgrade.
Yeah, it's probably like one of my biggest passions like lately is that whole aspect of realizing that we truly are a divine soul in a human form living in the physical dimension, but we're not bound by the physical dimension. You know, we're part of the multiverse and really living from that space. It's such a beautiful, magical space.
Okay, so that sounds so psychedelic, like you're bilocating and stuff like that. Is that... it's like, actually, can you just show up right here and we'll just record right here? Like,
yeah. I truly, truly believe that we can do that if we really, like if we got to a point of our minds being so detached from the aspect of not being able to do that.
Right.
If you know what I mean?
I do.
Like I truly do believe in these things. Like we can do these things. It's just, it takes like a mastery level of detachment from the human conditioning, which is what we're all kind of working towards, which is beautiful.
Isn't it? And that's a repeated message on this podcast. And it's one of the, I was reflecting on this recently. It's one of the pillars of what I hope to convey through this channel of this media is that the power of deconditioning and the what's on the other side of all of that, and that you don't have to stay stuck in that.
Totally. And like, I actually did a reading last night, and the lady that I was doing the reading for, she lives in Thailand, and we were both just talking about how, you know, so many people, I guess, look at us or kind of speak to us and think, you know, oh, you know, you're just so lucky that you get to go live in Bali or Thailand or, you know, live in paradise and have a totally unique lifestyle. And it actually isn't that hard. You just got to decondition yourself from what you think you're supposed to be doing and listen to your soul as to what you're called to be doing. And that the universe will completely support you in that. You know, the universe doesn't want you to live a mediocre life. It wants to help you live, you know, the expression of your soul here in the physical dimension. You just got to believe it and allow it to happen.
Right. You have to take the responsibility for inviting that in and doing your work on your end.
Totally. And it's just, like you said, like that power of detachment, power of detaching from what you think you should be doing, that kind of makes you miserable. And actually tuning into what makes you happy and following that and allowing yourself to be happy. I think that's a big thing as well, is like people actually allowing themselves to have what they want out of life and believing they're worthy enough to have that. Because so many people find it hard to get past that point. They think, you know, well, like, you know, my parents, they worked really hard and they had like a normal life and they never wanted for more. Or, you know, they tell themselves so many different stories about why they can't just have what they want out of life. But yeah, it's such a beautiful thing that we're all detaching from that, you know, slowly but surely.
I love this. And actually, I'm wondering if you can make it a little more real for us and show us a time when maybe you thought you couldn't get what you wanted, but then you realized that's total BS and you can get what you want.
Yeah, totally. So I guess it was a big thing for me in my life is that when I had a totally, you know, socially acceptable and achievable life put together. You know, when I lived in Australia for 4 years and I had, you know, a relationship, a house beyond our means, cars, full-time jobs, dog, you know, that whole setup of thinking that I had done what society told me to do. You know, like it just was a normal setup life and I felt somewhat successful in it. But I also felt miserable and a deep level anxiety the whole time. I think when I just left all of that and decided to completely start again, you know, it did feel quite, even though I knew I was following my soul, it did feel a little bit lost in terms of like, what do I think I'm doing? You know, like, why do I think I could leave everything that I had? That I was, you know, I was kind of like successful in, mm-hmm. and just start again from what I saw once. And you know, there was a lot of doubts in myself as to whether I could even just support myself to pay my rent.
Yeah.
And to do that even was at the time quite daunting. And I think my rent at the time was like $60 a week, so it wasn't much, but it was a little bit daunting to think like, I'm going to create my own path, my own responsibility, my own income, my own lifestyle that I desire. And the idea of, you know, traveling the world and being able to live a lifestyle where I could just go and basically have fun and enjoy all of it did seem quite out of reach at that time. Because, like I said, I was just trying to pay my $60 a week rent at the time. But the thing for me was that I stuck at it and I believed that that was the true expression, you know, this vision that I had, that was the true expression of how my soul came to live here in a human form in the physical dimension. And that's what I was meant to be, you know, enjoying in life. And so the more I kind of stuck at it and continued to, you know, daily detach from the doubts and the fears or the conditionings and speak more and tell more of the story of the life that I felt on a soul level I was meant to live, and I kept tapping into that highest version of myself who was already living that life, essentially, and practicing the quantum leaping, that's how it really kind of step by step came into place. And yeah, and now that I look back on it, it kind of, it's not like one big thing happened all at once. It's just, it was like these little sprinklings of just piece by piece by piece by piece by piece. And then all of a sudden I'm like sitting on an island off of Bali, you know, the last couple of days looking at this like beautiful turquoise water and, you know, barely having to feel like I have to work at all, really, and just being like, oh, this is nice.
Oh, thanks, life.
Yeah.
Nice. I love it. So yeah. In that story, mm-hmm. It sounds like there's three things that really matter, which was one, mm-hmm. You kept at it. You kept going. You know, people can sometimes expect this, like,
in yourself.
Yeah, right? They expect this, everything to change instantly, but it's actually, you know, if you stay in the game, you have a chance to win. If you leave the game, you're never going to win.
Totally. And I think also, like, there's this idea of, or this kind of, like, fairy dust idea of, like, if you just tune into your soul and follow your purpose, just, you know, everything will just all of a sudden, you know, just sprinkle into your life and happen, you know. But it does take a lot of, like we were saying, like detachment and unconditioning to really kind of make those internal shifts for those things to come into your life, you know. And I'm not trying to make it sound like it's, you know, I'm not trying to put that conditioning in of like you have to work hard.
Right.
It's just that once you really commit to that soul embodiment and your alignment with your purpose, there's huge levels of growth and expansion that will naturally happen, and you need to be committed to that and continue believing in yourself and continuously telling the story of what it is that you're aligned with, right?
Right. And so that, again, that, so there you go. You've got the first one is the stay in the game. The second one is decondition and deprogram yourself. And the third one is telling that story that is your soul story and just staying aligned with that. And you mentioned something called quantum leaping. Can you tell us, like, is this a tool for deprogramming, or is this a tool for staying in the story, or is it a tool for both? Like, where does that come into play?
Mm-hmm. So you cut out a little bit then. I just heard you saying something about, the tool for deconditioning and telling a new story.
Yeah, I was asking what is you mentioned quantum leaping, and where does that come into play in this in this process of staying in the game, deconditioning, and then aligning with that story, that soul story?
Mm-hmm, totally. So quantum leaping is realizing that you have within you multiple parallel realities that you can potentially live in this lifetime. And for me, it's mainly about tuning into what is that highest parallel reality. And to me, the highest parallel reality is the true expression of your soul, being able to live through you as a human in this physical dimension and fully express itself and express its purpose and its highest vision, in this physical dimension. And so quantum leaping is going from one parallel reality of where you're, you know, still stuck to certain conditionings or telling certain stories that aren't really serving you, and kind of creating somewhat of like a mediocre lifestyle, and being able to quantum leap from that parallel reality into the parallel reality of your soul in its highest expression, right? Mm-hmm. And the actual quantum leaping process to get from that parallel reality into the highest parallel reality is really through your consciousness, because what you're currently living is a certain state of consciousness, and the parallel reality of your highest soul embodiment and soul purpose is a totally, not a totally different, but a very different state of consciousness, because it's free from all the conditionings or the limitations or the fears that may be in the current parallel reality. Because parallel realities are purely just essentially different states of consciousness that create different realities, that create different paths, right?
Yeah.
So to get from one to the other, within the quantum leaping course that I've created, there's a process where we go through a journey where you actually go into that deep state of awareness of your consciousness and visiting that parallel reality within you, and realizing, and we also have like a worksheet afterwards, realizing what are the differences. So really kind of taking like a step-by-step process of, okay, so in my current parallel reality, I have these certain thoughts, beliefs, or fears, or limitations, but they do not exist within my parallel reality of my highest soul embodiment and my highest soul purpose, right? So you clarify what thoughts, beliefs, or limitations or fears that need to be detached from and cleared. And you also pick up on, okay, these are the new or more aligned thoughts and beliefs and consciousness and storytelling that exists within my highest parallel reality. And I need to start embodying them and bringing them into my consciousness in order for me to quantum leap from where I am to where I desire to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what's do you have a way to metaphorically describe what's happening when you're noticing what's different between your realities, and you're saying, okay, in my current reality, I have these beliefs that aren't really aligned with my highest soul's expression reality. And so in order to shift closer to that or into that, I need to shift these beliefs. Is that what you're doing? Or are you what's actually happening around the beliefs? So what's a metaphoric representation of what's happening with the shifting of those beliefs? Or how do you do it? Or is that something that's something that people have to buy the course that you offer or talk to you to find out? Is that classified information?
No, of course I'll share. I mean, obviously it goes into a much further depth within the course. I mean, when I used to run the in-person workshops that I did for Quantum Leaping, it took 5 hours to truly explain the process of Quantum Leaping and help people practice it. But with those shifting of the beliefs, you know, the actual meditative process that I guide you through with the Quantum Leaping is a big part of it, in terms of you learn how to start embodying the essence, the beliefs, the thoughts, the consciousness, the energy, frequency and vibration of that higher parallel reality. But you also come away noticing, okay, this is my work in terms of the things that need to be shifted. And a lot of it is about journaling. A lot of it is about exploring kind of how deep those beliefs go and where they come from, and how you can shift them. A lot of the time it's within the inner child. A lot of the time it's really about just looking at those beliefs, realizing where they're coming from, and retraining yourself and rewiring that belief, because it's just sitting there kind of subconsciously, and you can start to retrain it and rewire it by entering a new thought, a new belief. You know, sometimes it's a lot deeper, and people need to go through certain healing processes with where those beliefs are coming from to really detach from them. But a lot of the time it's really about retraining, rewiring the belief, and so that you are telling a new story and you are existing from a new state of consciousness. But yeah, as I said, there's a lot more to explain in terms of the Quantum Leaping, but in brief, it's really about going on that journey of visiting that parallel reality, analyzing what the differences are, realizing what beliefs need to no longer exist and what limitations and fears need to no longer exist, and what new beliefs, thoughts and consciousness and the new story that needs to be kind of really practiced and embodied and put into place in order for that reality to manifest.
Ooh, okay, I love this. So it's like, it's almost like a navigational tool, because you could go to therapy and talk about stuff and you could talk about this and that, but it sounds like Quantum Leaping helps you just get to like what's going to leverage the most return for my effort on this, rather than just kind of trying this or trying that belief or trying this belief or whatever. You're saying, actually, we're going to call in the highest version of ourselves. We're going to compare our reality to that reality, and then we're going to immediately identify what to target in on and narrow in on with our other healing tools in our toolboxes to help shift this, so we can massively change our experience of reality. It's like it's like a navigational tool.
Yeah, totally. And I love the way you explain that. And I also see it like Quantum Leaping to me is like, a lot of people know the law of attraction. A lot of people know that they need to be aware of their consciousness and how that's manifesting their reality. And there's a lot of theory that goes along with that. You know, it's like this big, it's an amazing philosophy, and it all is 100% true in terms of our existence. But I feel like a lot of people feel as if they can't quite get on board with it, because their mind finds it hard to feel a sense of structure or process, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Whereas Quantum Leaping gives you like a straight cut out identification of where you're at, where you need to be, and it's kind of like, I see it as the mind can jump on board and utilize its magnificence, rather than just kind of feeling like everything's a bit too airy fairy. Do you know what I mean by that?
Totally.
When it comes to manifesting, we can be very much knowing that that's the truth and very much knowing the magic of it, but the mind kind of pulls us back in a way where it's like the mind kind of struggles to get on board, because the mind needs a sense of analytical kind of structure to understand, like, okay, this is how it's going to work out in order for me to to get on board and trust it, you know? So I think quantum leaping is a really amazing way to utilize the strengths of both the mind and the kind of analytical, logical, structured progress type of way of going about it, and incorporating and utilizing the aspect of our true magnificence and our infinite intelligence as to how we create our reality from within our consciousness.
I like that. And the mind is so often, so I like, if someone's listening and they're a regular listener, they've probably heard me say this, but I feel like it bears repeating because it's so important to think about, because we're not conditioned to think this way. Which is, the mind isn't bad. It's just that we've given the mind all the 100% control. We've given it the steering wheel. But with tools like this, you're like, no, I'm actually going to give the steering wheel over to my heart and my soul. And I'm going to let you do the very best job at what you're meant to do, mind. And here's a framework to do that. And then you can make your mind an employee of your soul, basically.
Yes.
It's like, it totally changes. It's not the boss anymore.
Yes, 100%. Like, the soul becomes the operator and utilizes the mind as its tool while here in the human experience, you know. And I think also it is really important to recognize that the mind isn't the enemy, because, you know, a lot of people think it is, because that's a lot of where the conditioning is coming from. But more so thinking of it like, okay, so this is where the mind's at, but I can actually, utilize the mind as a tool. And I can shift my mind, and I can shape my mind to the way that's going to complement my soul's highest path. And, you know, sometimes the mind will throw out those kind of fears or limitations and things like that, but ultimately remembering that you are the one who decides whether you buy into it or not. and you know what I mean?
Like,
But it is genuinely, I feel, the mind and the ego, it is genuinely there with the intention of just purely surviving this human physical dimension experience. So of course it's going to throw in, you know, fears and things like that when things may be feeling uncertain, because, you know, the mind is thinking like, okay, if we're going to go follow our soul and begin, you know, as an entrepreneur and living like a free lifestyle, the mind straight away is like, well, how am I going to have enough income to survive? How am I going to pay my bills and, you know, feed myself and have a roof over my head? And that's not a bad thing.
Right.
You just have to identify that, like, okay, so my mind is kicking into like survival mode and thinking about all these logical things, but I don't need to buy into them as like doubts. It's just more so the mind trying to kind of protect us, but it's our job to, as a soul, remind the mind that everything is going to be okay and that you've got this, you know, remembering that your soul has got this already planned out, essentially.
Yes, totally. And that's something that is, it comes with practice and it comes with staying in the game. It gets easier. It gets easier, easier, easier.
Definitely. The more you can just, I feel like self-talk is really powerful.
Yes.
You know?
Oh my gosh.
When you can really, it's like people are going, okay, it's a crazy lady who talks to herself. But, you know, the actual self-talk is so important when you can feel yourself going into, you know, those worries or concerns or fears or limitation. Like, actually just talking from your soul to your mind, to your humanness, and reminding, like, I've got you. Like, I know how to live this highest path. It's already essentially within, and it's already essentially like vibrationally panned out. You know, you don't have to worry.
Yeah. And, you know, so something I really like that, so for people listening, we've actually had Jessica on the show before in episode 46. And something you talked about there was your human small self money story, you know, your fears, fear-based money story versus your soul's money story. And that's something that having, rewriting your stories and having a clear idea of the difference, that sounds like an aspect of your quantum leaping is having a picture, having a story of your vision, of your dreams, something that is written down that you can read, that embodies that feeling of where you are going and where what you're creating. that is so helpful, like in itself, to have that as a tool for when you find yourself going into that negative self-talk, and you can whip out your story and read it and you're like, right, on track. And then you can use your little tools to clear the beliefs or shift the beliefs or whatever. But like, so can you tell me more about how you use storytelling in your practices or in your life to like create what it is that is calling to you?
Definitely. And that really kind of, it does synchronize a lot with the quantum leaping in terms of how to really embody that higher parallel reality and the soul's true story. So, yeah, with that, I just like to first remind everyone that you have to know that you haven't just come here as a soul with some type of just blasé plan of how it's all going to go. You know, you haven't just gone, oh, I'll just pop in here to the physical dimension for a little bit and I've got no certain plan or I don't know how it's going to go. You know, your soul comes here with a clear intention and a clear path of like I was mentioning earlier, your highest purpose, your highest path, your highest vision, and your soul knows every co-creative component in this universe is already essentially ready and waiting for you to come into that space. And so when you can know that within yourself, when you can, you know, if you're ever feeling lost or you're ever feeling like you don't know, you know, how your path is going to unfold, just reminding yourself at least that your soul knows, and the more that you can tap into your soul, the more it will be unveiled to you, and the more it will unfold. And especially with, say, money story and, you know, every other area of your life essentially, but let's use money story as an example, you can have a process, which I find really powerful, is where you first acknowledge what your human kind of conditioned money story is, or whatever story it is, whether it be your relationship story or your health story or your career story. First acknowledge exactly what the story is that's kind of going on, and what the beliefs are, or what the thoughts are, what the fears are, what the limitations are. And, you know, through like a journaling process, just allow your humanness, your human conditioning to acknowledge and express itself. So just kind of allow yourself the space to express it all, and not worry about how fearful or negative it might be. Just allow it to be expressed. And then what you do is take some time to meditate and tune into your soul space, right? Tune into your higher self. Tune into that parallel reality where you're living the highest expression of your soul and your purpose and your highest path. And when you go into that space and you're tuned into your soul, then reply to your human conditioned self, okay? So if you can think of it like a bit of a dialogue between the human conditioning and the soul, and what the soul has, you know, infinite magnificent awareness of. And the way I do it is I write almost like a response email.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
A response letter to the human conditioning, and to just express what is coming from your soul level. A lot of the time when I do this, a lot of it is really reassurance coming from the soul to the human conditioned self of what your life is meant to be. So my soul is constantly you know, writing to my human conditioned self and saying, you remember when you were little and you had those dreams about traveling the world and living a magnificent lifestyle and helping many people? That is what you are meant to be. You know, it's been within you since day one, and you can't forget that. I'm reassuring you that this is the life that you are meant to live, and the universe is 100% on board with this. If you can trust and you can let go and you can embody soul more often, you will see how all of life will reflect that. And a lot of the time my soul will say, if it's money story, a lot of the time my soul will be speaking to my humanness and saying, you know, money is a consciousness, a resource of this universe. It is loving. It is giving. It is generous. It is appreciative of you utilizing it and it wants to come into your life. Money wants to assist you in your soul's highest purpose and your highest path. You know, money loves being in your hands because you treat it respectfully and you treat it with love and you treat it with generosity and you share it. And, you know, there's a lot of that type of talk coming from the soul as to teaching the human conditioned mind what money really is, you know, because, yeah, and sometimes also to kind of to really bring that into my consciousness even further, I then write stories or write letters to money, right? So people are going, what? I acknowledge money as a consciousness and I write to and express to their consciousness of money, and I express my gratitude. I express thank you so much for supporting me always in all ways. Thank you for having such a loving relationship with me. Thank you for coming into my life when it is needed. Thank you for allowing me to share you with others. Thank you for you know, just, and that becomes like a daily thing, a daily story that you're telling, whether it be like that you're just you know, ordering some food and you consciously communicate to money, thank you for being here for me to allow me to have this food. You know, just it really, when you start to acknowledge where your humanness is at, and then you allow your soul to then talk to or respond to your humanness and correct it, you know, like enlighten it and say like, hey, this is way it's meant to be. You can really start to shift into that space where you're telling that new story of knowing what money is on a soul level. And, yeah, you just start to realize that that money isn't this, you know, horrible, stressful thing that everyone's quite negative about. It's actually this beautiful, loving resource from the universe that wants to stream through you. And the more that you can see yourself as a channel for that beautiful, loving resource from the universe, and you can set clear intentions as to how you want to be a channel for that resource, the more it will be happy to come into your reality. It's kind of like if you're just saying, I need more money, or you know, I don't have enough. It's kind of like, where are you actually really purposefully directing that money, or showing that money how you're going to utilize it and respect it and love it and be in appreciation of it? But when you can kind of clarify what it is that you'll be channeling that resource into, whether it be creating something within your purposeful business, or whether it be doing something to nurture and tend to yourself personally, whether it be something that you intend to do for someone else, you actually communicate with the resource of money, the consciousness of money, as to where you're going to be utilizing it. Do you see what I mean by that?
Yeah, and I love this. I have similar practices of like writing letters to things and people, and
yeah.
Like it's so powerful, it really is.
Mm.
And another thing I think people can do is express their grief and ask for forgiveness for how they might have abused or used or hated money. You know, they can also, you know, you can express your gratitude, but also if there's a layer of grief or forgiveness that needs to come out to let that gratitude through, that's another way, you know, that letter, and you can have, you know, you can express that.
I love the expression of like, first saying like, hey money, I'm sorry for talking about you so badly previously. You know, because so many of us are saying like, oh, I need more money, I don't have enough money, or, you know, money is stressful, blah blah blah, and the consciousness of money is like, well, I'm trying to help.
Yeah, but you just won't let me.
Stop talking so badly about me. So yeah, definitely. First expressing that, expressing to the consciousness of money, like, I'm sorry for doubting you. I'm sorry for talking about you so badly. I'm sorry for you know, saying that there's never enough of you, because you know, that's just my own story. And now I'm stepping into the story of seeing that money as a supportive resource from the universe that is constantly willing to channel to me as long as I am in an open space of, you know, intention and creation and gratitude and generosity with it and mm-hmm. flow with it as well, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes mm-hmm. to be there, you have to let the grief and forgiveness flow. So something mm-hmm. else too is way back you mentioned you write from your limited perspective and then you shift into mm-hmm. your soul space and reply. I want to mm-hmm. really highlight how easy it can be to shift into your soul space. And like one mm-hmm. way that when you're talking about it that came up, well, there's two ways. One is using sort of invocations like you guided us through at the beginning of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And another one is simply paying attention to your breath and putting your hand on your heart and really breathing mm-hmm. into your heart space until you're more in your heart and less in your head. Mm-hmm. So is there any other directives or technique or how-tos or suggestions you have for listeners to who really want to take this to heart and like try this? If they're mm-hmm. like, what, get into my soul space, what if you're like, okay, no, here, just try this. I mean, we've given them yeah. two things now, but maybe there's another one, because each way yeah. each person has their own way.
Definitely So one other way that I like to tune into my soul space is to I just spend some time reminding myself of what makes me happy, basically, and you know who I really am by identifying the things that make me happy. In terms of I might just sit there, and in order to really tune into my soul space and who I really am and who I'm meant to be here in this lifetime, I'll just go into a space and be like, okay, I'm playful, I am cheeky, I am full of laughter, I like to have fun, I like to ride horses, I like to travel, I like to be in love, I like to be spontaneous, I like to be explorative. Just getting into that space where you can remind yourself of who you really are, and that really helps to get into your soul space, because ultimately when you just in life, when you're doing things that make you happy, that's an expression of your soul, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of just like a really simple way of getting into alignment with your soul, is just reminding yourself of what makes you happy, who you really are, and what's the true expression of your soul. And then you'll find yourself quite easily just tuning into and flowing into that space where you're like, I can feel my soul. I'm aligned with my soul right now, because I've tuned myself through my thoughts into the space where that's the essence of who I am and who I am on a soul level.
Mm. Okay, so
and then when,
oh, go
sorry,
ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just super excited, because I'm like, okay, now it's getting really meta here, but you could even start with your story this with this exercise by doing a limited perspective on who you are, human you, and then ask mm-hmm. your soul to reply to who are you just like you guided us through, and write maybe your soul space story, so you have all those qualities written down, so you can easily
totally.
Remember and refer to that and trigger those parts of your memory.
Mm-hmm. totally. And also, like, say for example with the money story, and you can also apply this to all other areas, if you were to write down your limited or kind of your limitations or your fears and things like that, and then write, tune into your soul space, and then write down from your soul space what you really think about money, you know, like writing, I think money is a beautiful resource to have in my life. I think money is exciting because it makes me feel free. I think money is such a creative resource. I think money is beautiful, how I can be so generous with it and help others. Just really writing from the soul space what you really think about money, and then kind of tuning back into, it's almost like tuning back into your human self and reading that. Mm-hmm. Reading that actual aligned story and seeing how you can start to really practice that and read over that consistently and see, and you just start seeing how silly your previous story is, your limited story is. You start thinking like, oh, I can see this from such like a observant space of like, oh, I can see how those beliefs have come from, you know, my parents or my schooling or society or previous employees or whatever it is. And you can just look at it and kind of just start detaching from it by just seeing that it's silly and yeah. just realizing like, this is the true story. My true story is a love affair with money, you know, like my true story is a beautiful relationship with money. So it's sometimes it just does take that process of expressing the full human perspective and conditioning, and then really replying from the soul level, or really kind of expressing from the soul level, and just looking at them and observing them and realizing how different they are, but how obviously true the soul story is compared to the silliness of the human one.
Right, and how different they feel. So something that I think would be interesting to get your perspective on, or your reply to, is my own investigations and inquiries into my money relationship took me to this belief that I wouldn't, for years and years, I wouldn't allow myself to have money because I didn't want to ever get confused about what was more powerful, money or the divine. And it wasn't until I really had this like embodied epiphany moment of, I will never think that anything is more powerful than the divine, and that the divine is not capable of anything. Like it's infinitely powerful. And so when I knew that, then I knew that I could receive money, and through receiving money, it would actually force me to expand beyond any illusions that I had of separation with my higher self, with the divine, and with the embodiment of my purpose. It's like, it's at that point, it went from not having money was the vessel through which I learned, to having and receiving money was forcing me to face any illusions I had about money versus source.
Yeah, and that's such like a really common thing in terms of, say, people that are really, really into, you know, their spirituality and being in their soul purpose, is that they, it's really a good intention to set the intention that, you know, your soul's happiness and your soul's purpose and service in this world is more important than any amount of money, and that, you know, you don't want to get caught up in money or let money change you, or, you know, but that's also reinstating the conditioned belief that money is somehow bad, and not seeing money as just as much of a divine consciousness and a divine resource as you know, everything else.
I love that.
It's kind of like, I see that, you know, fruits and vegetables that Mother Earth provides, they are divine resources for us to survive off of, to nurture our bodies and you know, live off of. And I see money very much in the same way. It's like a resource from the universe. It's essentially energy that helps us circulate creation and freedom in our lives, and it wants to be providing for us, and that has nothing to do with getting, you know, away from our soul and our soul's purpose. It's actually a facilitator to expand our soul embodiment and our soul purpose and what we can do to serve in this world, because it's when you look at it, it's really quite obvious that, you know, if you were to be in your soul space and be in your soul purpose and your soul service and not allow yourself money to expand, then you're not serving as many people as you could be. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you're holding yourself back from really truly allowing your soul to be in full service of what it came here to do.
Because, you're still letting money be more powerful than source or than the divine.
Another thing, like for me personally, was definitely the realization of my relationship with money, and that money wanted to be in my life and wanted to support me, and that it was just as purposeful as everything else, because it wanted to be, you know, like a resource, and it wanted to accelerate and expand certain things that I was doing for myself and for others was actually the realization that money didn't have to be hard. Like you didn't have to you don't have to actually and this can sound so unlogical sometimes, but you don't actually have to work hard to have money in your life supporting you. You can really tune into a space where you have a friendship and a love connection with money, where it will show up whether you're working hard or not. Yeah. I know so many people struggle with that because it's like, well, if you're not working hard, then how's it going to come in? But it's if you can really tune into that space and that relationship with money, you'll notice that it shows up for you consistently. As long as you're in that space of being in your soul space and having the intention of utilizing money in a resourceful and purposeful way. I just find it such an awakening to realize that money is not this thing that everyone's made it out to be, and that it's your personal relationship with the consciousness of money that will determine how it shows up in your life and how much it will support you, and how flowing that can be.
Mm. Right. And I love, so something I think within that is so much conditioning has says you have to work hard to earn money. And if you're earning money easy, you're doing something scammy or you're like, yeah. You know, cheating the system. But when you step outside of the machine, you know, then and into your power and into the power, your co-creative power, really all it takes is for you to unlink your conditioning that you have to work hard to make money, and you can link up you can link up literally any conditions you want to having money. You can say, oh, actually, in order for me to have money, I have to be really having a really great time at my life, you know, or like whatever, or money just comes to me regardless of what I'm doing or how aligned I am or not. Like you can link up literally any combination. It's just getting through that conditioning.
You can be playful with it as well. That's one of my favorite things with money, is like my relationship with the consciousness of money is I get playful with her in terms of like say how I was mentioning you just when we were chatting earlier, is you know, lately I've just been really exploring you know, Bali and a new relationship and just kind of like having fun and allowing myself to not feel like I have to be working or doing anything hard in my life.
Earning it.
Yeah. That I can actually just be enjoying myself and taking action where I feel inspired. But also with money, I've been kind of just playfully curious as to how can this get even better? How can I enjoy myself even more and still see money showing up in my life, even though I may not be able to logically see when or how or where it's going to come because I'm not, you know, doing the hard work to get it, you know?
So what does that look like for you? Does that mean that, like, more clients will show up, or does that mean that you'll get gifts? Like, how does that concrete look for people who might be wondering?
So say, for example, I'll kind of just have that playful intention of, you know, I'm not going to work hard, or I'm not going to make myself do anything. I'm just going to enjoy myself and be in a high vibration and be in a space where I'm in line with my soul and be curious as to how that money is going to show up anyway and support me anyhow in what I'm doing. And then that'll show up in ways of, there'll just be certain like word of mouth, you know, clients that'll start coming my way, people that will book online, and I'll kind of, you know, just, I'll, like I said, I won't be working much, but when I do check my my account, there is people that have booked in online and they've paid for the, you know, premium options and things like that, and it just happens, like it'll just start showing up, or I'll just have someone that might like put a post out on Facebook recommending me, and then a bunch of their friends will come for readings, or will purchase the Quantum Leaping course. You know, it's not in my control or it's not from my control, but it happens. It just, it does show up, and it, and to me, it's, it really is about that relationship with money, in terms of money saying to me, like, hey, go enjoy yourself. I'll show up anyway. Like, I'll support you anyway, because I know that your intention is to live from your soul space and to share your purpose with the world, and that it is important for you to enjoy yourself all at the same time. And it's kind of like, yeah, like a, to me, it's like a message from money saying, I support you to go and play and enjoy yourself. I don't support you on the conditioning of you working hard to have me.
Yeah.
You know, like it, it's really such a loving relationship if you learn to really trust it.
I like this because you've got this, so you've got this, essentially a container set up for you to receive, and instead of you having to go out and hustle and like advertise and be like, hey,
market and
right, and to like kind of force it or to put all this intense, dense or heavy effort into it, not saying that any of that's bad, you know, to some people that's really fun and they love it, but for you it's not your thing, so you're like, all right, I'm just gonna say I have this container to receive people and to receive money from people, and then it, you just work on your relationship with money, and that allows that channel to receive, to flow into the vessels and into the containers you've set up. And then, and another thing is, like, I've had the experience of I didn't even have vessels to receive money or containers, and I would just receive gifts. I mean, it's like, it's, you know, when you start stepping into that vibration, it's like people either they give you free things when you, like, I would go to check out and someone would be like, oh, have you tried this? I'm like, no, it's my first time trying this tea or something. And they'd be like, oh, then here, have it on the house. And I'm like, what? You know, like you step into this vibration and all, it just starts reflecting back at you through your containers for receiving or through just your everyday life. It's like, it's it shifts everything.
And it's also a part of, you know, how when we learn about the law of attraction and how all the universe works in those ways, a lot of it is about how you can, you know, create a intention or create a vision and then let go and allow the universe to bring it in. So when you can allow yourself to not work so hard and just go and play and be curious about and playful about how that money is going to show up anyway, is really a part of the law of attraction, is the essence of realizing that you don't have to control it all. You can set the intention and the vision and hold that energy and let go in terms of just playing and enjoying yourself and being in a high vibration. Whether it just be off, you know, having some time by the ocean or laughing with some friends or whatever it may be, and see how it comes into your life anyway without you having to put it there
or force it and manipulate it and all that stuff.
And it's such a beautiful way. I think if you can really get into that space of manifesting with money, I feel like you can really manifest in all areas of your life quite easily, because I think money is the most conditioned kind of fearful, limited thing that we have as humans.
Yeah.
So if you can really master money, then everything else will become a lot easier to manifest, because most of the time everything else has a lower level of resistance, you know, because money is such a conditioned thing, like you have to have it. It's for survival. You can't just trust that it will come in. You have to make sure it will come in, you know.
Right. You have to really tightly control it and, like, hoard it and all these things. Yeah. We're taught all these things.
Yeah. So if you can let go of the control over money and know that you can have a beautiful relationship with it as a resource in your life that is forever supporting you, then you can really master being detached from but easily manifesting the other things in your life, other areas. Yeah, nice. I love money stories. They're so interesting and so beautiful, you know, like just so interesting to explore what the conditions are and where they're coming from, and to see how obvious they are in terms of yeah, where that limit is coming from, but then also shifting up that relationship and being like, I'm going to start, you know, sending love letters to money, and I'm going to start, you know, treating her the way that she was meant to be treated.
Yeah. And I love money too, because it really forces you to look at how you're holding the quality of worthiness of yourself.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. And then,
like, your worthiness and deserving to have what you desire out of life does have such a core relationship with money, because in this human life, the things that we desire and we want from life, money is like the resource that brings it into play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the time there are things that don't cost money at all that we desire, but a lot of the time when it comes to our lifestyle and things like that, money is such a big support in that, or such a big restraint in that. So
yeah. And then
money story is so powerful.
And then using these tools that you've mentioned of, like, the human story, then the money story, the limited story, then the soul story. And that can help you see where you are holding on to huge beliefs about unworthiness, and that alone, shifting into your divine parallel reality, to your higher self parallel reality, to that highest expression of you, helps you dissolve and melt that illusion of unworthiness and step into something new, which is so beautiful.
Yeah, totally. One of my favorite things for me personally with that, in terms of the worthiness and the deserving and how that relates to the resources of this universe, is, you know, shifting the story of feeling like you have to kind of, you know, take care of yourself and really be, do it yourself and be alone in it, and kind of that whole story. Into my favorite story around this is reminding myself I am a divine child of the universe and source energy, and seeing, like, the universe and source energy like a mother, like a, you know, actually Mother Earth, the universe and source energy, as ultimate, you know, mother of me, and that Mother Earth and the universe and source energy wants to take care of me just like a mother does. And you can either allow these mothers to take care of you and nurture you, or you can keep that mindset of, I've got to do it all by myself, I've got to be independent, I've got to, you know, struggle for it myself and work hard for myself. Sometimes just saying to yourself, I'm a divine child of Mother Earth, the universe and source energy, and I am always taken care of because they love me and they want to take care of me and nurture me and help me along my way. Actually, like, seeing that you're not separate or in it alone, that Mother Earth, universe and source energy, God, whatever you want to call it, like, they love you and they want to support you, and you just got to let them in.
That's true.
That's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the worthiness is so connected to that, in terms of, like, knowing that you're worthy of their love and that support.
Yeah, and if someone's listening and they have, like, a strained relationship with their mother, this is a really interesting way to tap into receiving that love that you never got through this higher source or through the earth, and shifting that whole dynamic and healing that.
Yeah, because I see it as kind of like, as much as I love my mom and my dad, I also see them as like, it's kind of like, you're my mom and my dad for this lifetime, but my true, my, you know, and I'm so
you're not
grateful
my
for
real
you,
mom.
But you're not my real mom and my real dad. Like, Mother Earth, the universe, source energy, God, like, that's my true infinite parents, you know, and caretakers, and support, and, you know, providers. That's how I see it on a soul level, right?
Yeah. And then that makes it super clear that, like, we all are, and we're all connected. We're all connected to each other, to the earth, to all of nature, to all these seen and unseen realities. It's like that just brings it all into play of how we are part of this whole that's all connected.
Totally, totally. And I think just as long as you know that you're in your connection with your soul and your purpose, and you have the intentions of living your highest path and your highest vision, and you know, just being of source energy in this world, you know, bringing light into this world, you can realize that there's no reason why Mother Earth, the universe, source energy wouldn't support you, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, Mother Earth wants us souls coming to the earth to help raise this ascension process. So she's going to give us everything that we need to do so, you know. Mm-hmm. And so is the universe and source energy and all that exists. If they know that we're in that space of our soul and our pure intentions, they're going to give us everything. Why wouldn't they, you know?
Right. Awesome. Yeah. So where can people connect with you, and what can they, you know, how can they connect to you? What do you offer? What's over in your universe?
So probably the best way would be through my website, which is www.jessicareed, which is R-E-I-D, online.com. So jessicareedonline.com. And you can see, I've actually just started hosting a podcast, and there's also the soul consciousness readings, channelings, one-on-one mentorships, and the Quantum Leaping online courses there as well. So my website is like my little wonderland of everything that I offer. but I also love when people add me on Facebook, which is just Jessica Reed, or there's also my page, which is Jessica Reed Global Clairvoyant Channel and Purpose Fulfillment Coach. But yeah, mainly through the website is where everything's at. Yeah, so I've loved connecting with so many people through this podcast. They're always like, I heard you on the Dream Freedom Beauty podcast with Natalie. And I'm like, yay!
Awesome.
That was an awesome podcast. And they're always such like really sweet. I feel like you've definitely like attracted your tribe, because they always remind me of you a little bit.
Aww,
somehow.
Thanks.
Like they're always very like sweet and almost like fairy like, or you know, like just very down to nature and divine. So I've been so grateful to meet so many beautiful souls through your channel.
That's so sweet to hear. Thank you. And that's awesome. I love my listeners.
You should.
Yeah. I honestly did not know that you had started a podcast. Like,
very new. I'm going to launch it this week, so
uh-huh.
It'll be out by the time this podcast is out, but
I see a link to it. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's Spirit Talks for the Fifth Dimension, so I'd awesome. Actually love to have you on my podcast too.
Oh my
actually.
God, I would be honored. I'm like blushing now. Thank okay. you. That'd
yeah,
be fun.
And it's also aired on like a radio station in the US called
cool.
Take Talk Radio. So yeah, I'm excited to really get that out there as well.
Very cool. So I'll have links to all of this stuff on the show notes page, but people can also remember Jessica Reed Online and go check you out. I really like your website. And you did a great job with whoever did a great job. and also, I think, do you want to do a secret episode and talk about the fifth dimension?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do that.
A new podcast?
Yeah, let's. So, definitely. Listeners, you can go to dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret and get the secret episode where we're going to dig into, I really want to dig into parallel realities a little more, in a little more like psychedelic sense.
Yes.
All right, let's do it. All right. So thank you for coming on the show. And if y'all want more, and if you want to dig into some more like cruising through the universe, then head on over to the secret episodes and check it out. So
awesome.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So much love.
Thank you all so much for listening. And remember, you can pay it forwards by shouting us out on Instagram or leaving us a review on iTunes, or going to patreon.com/dreamfreedombeauty and contributing a monthly donation. And you can also go to dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret to get that secret episode. And until next time, I hope you have a beautiful week. Thank you all.